Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 51, the stanzas 1 and 2. Amid the thronging worshipers, Jehovah will I bless. Before my brethren gathered there, his name will I confess. And what follows, Psalter 51, the stanzas 1 and 2. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Acts 22, the verses 1 through 16. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord, thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Acts 22, the first 16 verses. Amen, brethren and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence, and he saith, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into presence both men and women, as also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them, which were there bound unto Jerusalem, for to be punished. And it came to pass that, as I made my journey, and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me, and I fell unto the ground, and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light, and were afraid. But they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise, and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And when Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him, and he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Thus far the reading of the scriptures. We hope to remember in prayer today Mr. Hank van Harten, who may remember his 80th birthday today, and his wife Nell, who hopes to remember her 77th birthday on Wednesday, and Mr. and Mrs. Henry de Kock, who hope to commemorate their 40th wedding anniversary at the end of this week. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, then it behooves us to bow in awe and reverence before thee. And to that end, may it please thee to grant an impression unto us and our children, unto whom we speak. Thou who art the creator of the heavens and of the earth, and doth uphold the same by thy divine providence, so thou wast also cared for us and our children another week. Then thou wast not taken one away by the cold hand of death, thou yet maketh a difference with so many upon the face of the earth. And our Lord, may the question be bound upon our heart, and who maketh thee to differ? Because it is written in thy word, For we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Then thou wast not only spared, but then thou wast granted so many blessings from above. The psalmist of old has declared that he could not number them. And so it is with us and our children, but oh, it is so necessary that we may be given to think upon these things. We must confess that we are such unthankful creatures and that we take so much for granted. And when thou even withholdest a few desires and things that we need here below, then we are so quickly to murmur, Lord, may it be then thy goodness that leadeth us and our children, that we may receive that godly sorrow that leadeth to repentance. Lord, then thou wast watched over us in the past week in the home, on the way at work, wherever we were called to be. And now thou granteth unto us and our children another Lord's Day, another soul's market day. And then the psalmist of old has declared, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And may there have also come such souls to thy house in this morning hour. And when it is missing, may it please thee by thy Spirit to grant it by the first time and by renewal. Oh, the longings for the living God, Lord. May it please thee then in this morning that thou may richly bless thy word, that thy kingdom may come, and that thy name may be glorified, and thou shalt be glorified in each of our lives, but, O Lord, in the lives of those that remain unconverted, then thou shalt be glorified in the punishment of the wicked, in the glorification of thy justice. But then thy justice shall never be satisfied. But, oh, in the saving of thy church, then thy justice has been satisfied. In the perfect work of thy dear Son, in the state of his humiliation, and that perfect righteousness that thou imputeth unto thy children, O Lord. May it please thee to work mightily, lovingly by thy Holy Spirit in the midst of us and our children. Leave us not over to ourself and to the hardness of the heart, but may it please thee to shoot arrows of love and arrows of conviction into the hearts of the king's enemies. And then they shall be given to ask what they must do, because it is written in thy holy word that thou hast a willing people in the day of thy power, Lord. Wilt thou remember thy children? Then it is so necessary that the Son of Righteousness, that he may shine. But there can lie so much in between as it is in the realm of nature in this morning hour. Oh, our unbelief and our sins. But oh, when thou blowest mightily and lovingly with thy Holy Spirit, and the bride is prayed concerning those matters, come, O north wind, and blow thou south upon my garden, that the spices may flow forth. Wilt thou grant then a token, ah, thou hast a people upon the earth, that there are times that they are given to beg for another little token of thy favor, that thou knowest of them, But thou hast a people upon the earth that learn that those tokens of favor, that they cannot satisfy justice. They need a mediator. They need a surety. They need the blood applied to the doorpost of their heart. Lord, grant then a good morning and a good day together in thy house. May it then be a special, and may it then be an unforgettable day. May matters take place in this hour that shall have value for the time, and that shall have value for eternity, both for body and for soul. Thou art still gathering a church in the solemn times in which we live. There are yet those under the seal of election that must and shall be brought forth, O Lord. And may it then take place in this morning hour, and may the prayers be multiplied to that end. Wilt thou remember thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth? Remember all those that are called into thy vineyard, thy truly called servants, elders, and deacons. And, O Lord, wilt thou also help and remember the students in this day, when they may speak an edifying word. And may they experience thy special help, and may it please thee to grant thy special blessing, and may their number be increased in the midst of the denomination. Lord, remember all our needs, and remember all our special blessings. We're an old father in this day, and may commemorate that he may become 80 years old. And then the infirmities and the troubles of his body, they have greatly increased in this past year. Oh, to experience that our tabernacle is being broken down, but thou wast yet spared. Wilt thou then grant him, together with his dear wife, who also hopes to commemorate her birthday in this week, a broken and a humble heart, and above all things, oh, do grant them that one thing needful. Wilt thou so remember all our elderly ones in our care home, with those who may lovingly care for them, with those that may still be in their dwelling, those that may still go in and out. Oh, do remember them in the evening of their life above all things. Oh, do convert them as thou doth convert all thy people. Wilt thou remember all the mourning ones with the large empty places in their lives, in their homes, in their heart. Do continue to uphold them from day to day. Remember the sick and afflicted. We may acknowledge thee that there are none in the hospital. Remember all those under the doctor's care with their fears and with their worries. Grant them a place at thy footstool, and may the callings be sanctified. Wilt thou remember the handicapped ones amongst us, difficulties of the body, of the mind? Lord, grant them courage, and may their eyes be upon thee, and may these trials in their life, may it be used that they may be given to see that the true happiness is not to be found here below, but that is to be found in the service of the Lord. Lord, remember prodigal sons, and remember prodigal daughters. We commend unto thee the needs in the realm of nature, with the fires and with the drought. And may it please thee to grant relief, refreshing showers for the thirsty earth. Remember man and beast in the heat of the summer. And now, Lord, in this morning, may our eyes truly be upon Thee. O wilt Thou grant help from the sanctuary and strengthen out of Zion. Ah, grant Aaron's and hers. O wilt Thou grant thirsting and longing souls that have a desire to hear Thy voice, Lord. Remember all the listeners. Wilt Thou remember our little boys and our little girls? Oh, in their young minds, not so easy to comprehend everything, but Thou only needeth one word. Touch their young hearts, that they may be given to listen in this morning, as they have never listened before. But what is necessary for the little children, that is necessary for us all. Thou knowest that the cares of the time, that they can beset us so much, and the wandering and the worldly thoughts, the buyers and the sellers, outwardly and spiritually, then it is the work of Thy Spirit to drive them all out, Lord. We have to confess that we have absolutely nothing to plead upon, and that is a lesson that we need to learn each time by renewal. And to that end, may our eyes be upon Thee, and may it please Thee to remember us and our children, poor sinners, hastening to that never-ending eternity. To remember us in mercy, convert us, as Thou doth convert all Thy people. Wilt Thou pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 92, the stanzas 1, 2, and 7. Be Thou my helper in the strife, O Lord, my strong defender be. Thy mighty shield protect my life, the spear confront the enemy. And what follows? The extra collection today is for the Book and Publishing Fund. Psalter 92, the stanzas 1, 2, and 7. Thank you. In this morning hour, with the help of the Lord, then we wish to ask your attention by renewal for our text words, which you can find in Acts 9, at the verses 3, 4, and 5. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Our text words speak of Jesus Christ arresting Saul on the way to Damascus. Four thoughts. Jesus' powerful stopping. Jesus' uncovering question. Jesus' drawing love reflected. And Jesus' clear reproof. A beloved congregation, a little different than the last time. We have stated concerning Saul, since he is usually known as Paul, that we would mention his name as Paul. But then we have been too hasty, of course, not absolutely wrong. We speak of the conversion of Paul. Nevertheless, in this chapter, he is still called Saul. Thus, we still hope to do the same. The church, many times, they are too hasty. And that is the way of, in the way of providence and in the way of grace. When we think of Abram, that name means exalted father. And then in Abram, and what a difficult work it is to wait upon the Lord when even the Lord's providence is contrary. And then in Abram has not waited before he received that new name, Abraham, which means the father of a multitude. But then in Genesis 16, then he has taken a Hagar, that the Lord's promise may be fulfilled in the way of grace. Oh, it is true. And they are not the worst times in the life of a child of God, because I read in Psalm 23, verse 5, that David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, was given to declare that his cup runneth over and full is full. And then there can be times that a child speaks further than he is led, of course. When the Lord, by the immediate working of the Holy Spirit, when he grants that faith to believe and to embrace, because they read in Hebrews 11, verse 1, that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And then when the Lord grants more light, then the child may be given to see, oh, that he was rich in hope, but that he still needed to receive it. Then we have heard in the past weeks of a Saul, a young man, a religious young man, trained up at the feet of Gamaliel. No, he was not a worldly man, and not a place that would visit places of vanity, because in the time of the New Testament, in that Greek culture, there were also sports stadiums and other places of vanity. And Noah Saul would not be found there. He would not be found in a bar. He would not grieve the church by walking around in shorts. Oh, for a soul there was sincerity. Saul had an impression that he needed to get to heaven. Oh, for Saul, an impression that there was an eternity approaching. But a soul was sincerely mistaken. Oh, we thought that by his works and by his good deeds and by his religion and by his prayer that he could merit heaven. Oh, then what did Saul need? Then he needed light, and that has taken place. Oh, we have heard the wonderful works of the King of the Church sitting at the right hand of the Father, where a soul was arrested. Oh, we have heard for that church in Damascus. What a wonder for that church, that persecutor, that he was fell down just before the gates of Damascus. Oh, what a prayers must have been sent up. And now as we consider further the conversion of Saul, then we shall hear, congregation, that Saul was converted the same as the Lord converts all his people. God's people shall all learn the same matters. It is true, outward providential circumstances can be different, but they all learn that it is grace and grace alone, and that if anything had to be added, they shall all learn that by the works of the law they can never be saved, that it is grace and grace alone. And then we have heard that a soul, that the light has shone on the way, and he fell to the earth. That is the beginning, to fall before the Lord. Oh, has that ever taken place in our life, congregation, that we are given to fall, that we are given to bow before him and his holy word, and a holy reverence and a holy awe. Oh, a soul, he did not know what was happening, but he has fallen to the ground. And then we come to our second thought, Jesus' uncovering question. Ah, the love of Jesus. That love already was from the never-begun eternity, when he has given himself to be that mediator, that he was willing to come upon the earth. Oh, I read in Hebrews 12, verse 2, that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. And what was now the joy of Christ in that deep suffering? That he would receive the church for a reward, that he would receive a black bride, that he would also receive that self-righteous Paul. And now concerning the leadings, the one quicker, the other slower. I read in Lamentations 4, verse 9, better are they that die by the sword than by the famine. Do you know what that means, young people? What that means, better are they that die by the sword than by the famine. The sword, that is a quick work. But by the famine, that is a slow work. But they both shall die. Both die to the law. Both learn that they can only be saved by grace. And then we read in our text, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying, thus that is the second mark, for falling and then hearing. And a soul is heard as he have never heard before. Has that ever taken place, congregation? That you have heard as if you have never heard before. That it was a message that when you left church, that you could not put it to the side, but that it stayed ringing in your ears during the night, the coming week. That it was a message that you could not get out of your heart, that it made such an impression. Thus a soul heard. That was by the work of the Holy Spirit. The prophet has said in Zechariah 4, verse 6, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? What do you think about that question, boys and girls? Because Christ, you know that, Christ, he ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of the Father. And Saul, with those letters in his pocket, he was trying to arrest those believers in Damascus and to bring them bound to Jerusalem that they may perhaps be killed. And now he heard a voice from heaven saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? What do you think about that, boys and girls? Was Saul now persecuting the Lord Jesus Christ? Zechariah 2 verse 8. He that touches you touches the apple of my eye. And we have heard some weeks ago out of Matthew 25 concerning visiting the sick, clothing the naked, that when we do it unto one of his people, that we do it unto him. Oh, we can give some examples. Children, think when you have a mother bear and cubs. If you would now beat those little cubs, must never do that, of course, but then that mother bear would become extremely angry, as if you had done it to her, even more angry than if you would take a stick and beat that mother bear. Ah, think of parents. When their children suffer, then they suffer. One of oldest said that their children are their own flesh, wrapped up in an other skin. And to that end, Christ, he is the head of the church. And the church is the body. And when that body is persecuted, then the head is also persecuted. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Then Saul was an awful man. Have we also learned that we have been persecutors or are persecutors? Or are we still good church people, congregation? Are we still good church people? Too good to be saved by free and sovereign grace. Too good to be saved through the meritorial work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ah, concerning that persecution. Oh, examples in the Bible. Think of King Saul in the Old Testament. How he has persecuted David. When we mock with the holy things. Think of those boys and girls that have mocked the prophet Elijah. Then they were mocking with the Lord, and the Lord has sent two mother bears, and they have devoured 42 children. Oh, when we despise, when we disobey the law of the living God, do we then not do the same, that we are persecuting the Lord? We're in his goodness. We're in paradise. He has given us his law for our welfare. And when we trample upon that law, are we then not also persecuting the King of the church? Ah, when we grieve God's people by all our world conformity. That is a Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 9 verse 1, that they have to say, rivers of water run down my eyes, because they keep not my law, that they are given to weep for the slain of the daughter of my people. Ah, when we are the cause for the world that the name of the Lord is blasphemed, are we then not persecuting the King of the church? Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? What heavy words, only a few words, but what a cutting message. Why? Oh, we have mentioned it already last time. When the Lord converts a person, then we become exercised with that word. Why? Because then the Lord, He holds the mirror of His holy law before us. And then we are given to reflect. And then it comes back what we have done in our life to be given to reflect upon the goodness of the Lord and all His callings. And then the question comes, why? Oh, what can be broadened out? Why? Have you left your place empty in God's house? Why have you desecrated my holy Sabbath day? Oh, we could go through the commandments. Why? Then when we are older and then given to reflect, I hope, boys and girls, that you do your best, that you ask the Lord that you may obey your fathers and mothers. But oh, when the Lord holds that law before us, then the question is, why? Why hast thou persecuted me? Why hast thou not kept the law? Oh, why, when I have spoken unto thee in such solemn providential ways, where I have sent afflictions that I have called, my son, my daughter, give me thy heart, and that we have stopped our ears, that we have continued, or maybe for a short time, and soon we have continued on our way. Oh, what a deep and a cutting word that word why is. When the Lord uncovers us by His Holy Spirit, then the question why, when a temptation has come, and when the Lord has spoken through our conscience, that it has told us that it was so wrong, and that we have still continued, then all the callings of the Lord come back, and then we shall become the guilty sinner. Then we hear, congregation, that what a soul has experienced, it is what all God's people are given to experience. And no, then we do not have to persecute in an outer way as a soul with those letters in our pockets, but we shall learn that we are a sinner. What a deep and cutting word that is, that word why. Has that word now ever received meaning and weight in our life? That the Lord has said, why, boy and girl, father or mother, older ones, that you have not hearkened to my holy word? Oh, why have you not paid attention to my goodness and to my blessings that you have? Why have you used all those blessings? Why have you used your health and your strength all those years only to seek yourself? Why have you not sought my honor and my glory? Oh, why have you not paid attention to the exhortations in God's holy word to first seek the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness, and all things shall be added unto it? All what can be multiplied out, places of wickedness and vanities, young people, I hope that the Lord may keep us from those places of wickedness, that we harden not our heart. But now that word, why? Oh, what an uncovering word, a word that cuts so deep, that cuts to the bottom of our existence. Why, soul, soul, why persecutest thou me? Oh, then it can be, why have you not learned your catechism questions? You can multiply it out. Oh, when the Lord uncovers it, what a deep uncovering that is. The one quicker, the other more gradual. Oh, when the life of Saul was a short time, the more general work is, that it is more a gradual work. But through each commandment, why? And then the sinner has to confess, guilty, guilty before the Lord. What a terrible and what an awful thing that sin is, that it is done, recorded in God's book, and The justice of God demands perfect satisfaction. Our sins, they shall be punished. What an uncovering question for us all. Oh, boys and girls, there you see him lie on the ground in the presence of divine majesty. Oh, there the Lord has spoken, Saul, Saul. It was an urgent, it was an important message. It was an arrow that has come in his heart. Oh, for a soul, it became true what we read in Romans 7, verse 9. For he was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And that has now taken place, oh, in beginning, in the life of Saul. Thus, on that way to Damascus, Saul had helpers. And then we read, and they that were with me saw indeed the light, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. Thus, same church, same bench, and that we do listen well, but that we yet do not hear. Our third thought, Jesus' drawing love reflected. Then we have added in this morning that word reflected, because of course that Jesus drawing love, that was already in the beginning. Oh, it was Jesus as King of the church that stopped Saul on the way to Damascus. Oh, that was that love that had its beginning in eternity and that becomes manifest. Oh, it is true. Thomas Boston, when he has written about the covenant of grace, then he has included in those blessings that for God's people, that in their unconverted state, that they are watched over in a special way, because they cannot die, because they must and they shall be converted. Oh, there are different ones amongst us that have been spared in wonderful ways, that the Lord has put his hand between you and death. Gives you something to think about. And have you now asked the Lord, and are you still asking? Or have you forgotten about that wonder? Or are you still asking, Lord, now thou hast spared me in such a special way. Other ones that have come in similar circumstances, they are in eternity, but I may still be in the precious day of grace. Ah, may I have been spared, that I may be converted, and that I may be given to praise thy great and worthy name. And then we read, and he said, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? That was Jesus speaking. And then maybe there are those that shall say, but here it begins with Jesus. Jesus speaking to Saul. Then Jesus has spoken on behalf of the Trinity. When Jesus has walked upon the earth, then it was a special time. And in 1 Corinthians 15, we read that it was a special appearance of Jesus to Saul. But it is clear that Jesus here on the way to Damascus has not appeared unto him in a saving work, but that he has appeared declaring the righteousness and the justice of God, because that first question is evidence thereof. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me, that a soul may be brought into guilt? And then we read something very, very remarkable. And he said, who art thou, Lord. He did not plead his ignorance. He did not come up with many excuses. He did not say, Gamaliel, my teacher, he has taught me these matters, the Old Testament, the laws of Moses. Lord, it is a time of transition. Thus it is so difficult for the Jewish people to understand that after 1500 years under the ceremonial law, and now one has come that has declared that that ceremonial law is no longer necessary, that is so difficult for us to understand. Thus Saul did not come with excuses. How was it in our life? What the temptations and the sins of our time? What do we say? Is the time that we live in. The circumstances we cannot help that we are living in the year 2021. It is an evil world. More temptations than ever before. It is necessary what we read in Romans 3 verse 19. That every mouth is stopped and that we become guilty before the Lord. Thus a soul. No excuses. Not pleading ignorance. That arrow that is stuck so deep in his heart. Such a penetrating arrow. It was an arrow of conviction. Then in a moment, then a soul was given to see what a great sinner that he was. That he has persecuted the King of the church. Why persecutest thou me? No, then a soul had no excuses. That why has penetrated so deeply in his heart. And why persecutest thou me? Ah, that word me. That is necessary. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. That we receive insight and knowledge of whom we have sinned so greatly and so grievously. And people, whether we now are a worldly person or a self-righteous person, makes no difference. It is true. We shall not be convicted of the sins that we have not committed outwardly. All we learn, it all lives in our heart. But the Spirit shall not convict of sins, places which we have not visited, but we shall learn that the vanity of those places all live in our heart. We shall not, in that deeper uncovering, then we shall learn more and more what sinners we are. Oh, what a deep word that why is. That is a why that they cannot put to the side. That is a why that brings a sinner to the inner chamber. That is a why that draws a sinner up to God's house. And then we would think for a soul. He was such an enemy of Jesus. And now to hear that voice, that convicting voice, that voice of justice and of righteousness, that Saul would have refused to listen, that he would have become so angry inside that he would have been silent. It's an awful thing when we are silent. You have two people. Can even be with husband and wife. Hope that does not happen so often. But when a husband and wife, when they have differences or a quarrel, that the one just becomes silent, very wrong. But now a soul, he did not become quiet. Oh, that why became true, became reality, became his fault, became his sin. And then Saul, he had a special question. And that question, that reflects the love of Jesus. Then a soul, with that convicting question, then he had a desire to receive a knowledge of whom the Lord was. But Saul, do you not know who the Lord is? Because you have been taught in the law of the Old Testament. You have sat at the feet of a great theologian, Gamaliel, and then the Jews, they have taken Deuteronomy 6, verse 8 literally, that they had to bind the word of God to their arms, to their hands, and to their forehead. Then those Jews, some only when they went to prayer, still with Orthodox Jews, then on their left arm they have a calfskin case with different texts out of the Bible, even declaring that the Lord is one God, and also a little square box on their forehead with a few texts in that little box. The soul, have you not been taught who the Lord is? Oh, if we would ask Saul, he could instruct us much out of the Old Testament, maybe undoubtedly memorized many texts. That is even clear in the epistles that he has written. And now when the Lord has stopped him, then he said, Lord, who art thou? Who is the Lord for us, congregation? Has God become real in our life? Have we learned something of his attributes? That he is so good doing, so faithful, so justice and so righteous. Then it is clear in the question that Saul has asked that that love of Jesus was reflected. When the Lord works and the Lord is free, the one more laboring under the threatening of the law, other one more drawn, they shall learn both. But the Lord sheds that love abroad in the heart. And then they learn in beginning to love that God whom is so just, who is so righteous, who must condemn them. Oh, when the Lord converts us, then you must not think, people, that the promises read off the pulpit, that they are for them. No, the judgments can be that they tremble in their bench. Such sinners, such a holy and righteous God. And then you would think, oh, it is such a supernatural, such an astounding, such a wonderful work, the work of conversion, when the Lord stops us, when the Lord draws us, because we would think, when the Lord convicts us of our sin, and he must punish us, that we would run away. But that is not the case. Oh, that people, their place in church is never unlawfully empty. Oh, sometimes they weep because they are the sinner. Oh, there are times that they think that the sermon is especially for them. The justice of God demanding a perfect satisfaction, and they busy with that why. All rises up against them. Oh, could they but do their life over again. But we have said what a terrible thing that sin is. Can never be undone. We can never redo. 'Tis recorded before the Lord. And now that people, they have a desire to learn more of whom the Lord is in all his attributes. And because in the moment of regeneration, also clear, our congregation, when we consider the conversion of Saul, then there shall be a people that shall be given to declare, this true, maybe they do not know the time, and not such extraordinary circumstances, more ahead in work, but then they shall hear what a Saul has experienced. That is not so strange to me, because concerning that why, oh, concerning our sins, then we are given a solemn impression of our sinnership, of whom the Lord is. But now in the moment of regeneration, implants those special graces of faith, hope, and love, then that people, they receive a hope, because otherwise Saul did not have to ask a question about whom the Lord was. How can that people always explain that? That is another matter. Many times, Psalm 36, verse 9, in thy light we shall see light, when they may be given to look back. Then many times they have more light upon those matters, upon the leadings of the Lord. Ah, when the Lord converts that people, they become such a riddle to themselves. They can have so many questions and so many perplexities. But now with Saul, he needed, he must, and he had a desire to know who that great God was, who he was persecuting. Ah, then it is clear that a new light has risen in his soul. And he said, who art thou, Lord? Do you hear it? That word Lord, that points to a master, to one that has authority. Then Saul was given, who art thou, and a title, Lord, Master, a title of respect. Do you see the love of Jesus reflected in the life of Paul? Oh, if we had asked him that time, Saul, what is now happening? Oh, he knew he was lying on the ground. He knew he had seen that light. He could tell you. Oh, the depth of that why, only in beginning. But what a deep word. Why hast thou sinned against me? Done nothing but good, so faithful. Called thee by thy word. But now a Saul is given to say, who art thou, Lord? There's an account of that drawing love. Oh, a people that love the Lord that is still so unknown, but they have learned something. The wonderful work of grace, free and sovereign grace. Ah, we have told you last time, Acts 9, and we have read Acts 22, where Paul is later, when he was arrested in Jerusalem, where he was accused of bringing Greeks into the temple to profane the temple. And when the Romans have arrested him and brought him to the castle, to the garrison, and then Paul was given to ask whether he could speak a few words, and then he was given to tell that Jewish people, oh, with compassion, how it must have all came back. He was also a persecutor. Now the Jewish people were persecuting him. Ah, he did not stand. Men and brethren, fathers. And then he was given to declare the wonderful grace of God. Oh, Saul, he was arrested as a trophy of free and sovereign grace. Thus, Acts 9, oh, what a proof against those freewillers that are given to tell that we have power to believe of ourselves. No, then it is so clear in our text words that it was grace and grace alone. And now we hear one say, if now I was only converted as a soul, then I would not doubt. But I am maybe a little emotional by nature. Even when I was young, my father and mother, even if they would look at me, then I was obedient. That is good to be, boys and girls. Father and mother did not have to say. And then there were special providential circumstances, maybe sickness, accident, death, serious things that have happened, and then it has become different. But, oh, it can be the question whether it was only those providential circumstances that has brought a change, or whether the Lord has truly converted me. Then test yourself by what we read in our text. Why? Have we ever become a sinner? Convicted sinner? A poor sinner? Oh, learn to weep those bitter tears. Cry unto the Lord and for a just God, that we have such a love to that just God. And a love, everything that is connected with the Lord, all to his people. Have we made that good choice, all to his house? Then that becomes our delight, and it shall be what we have heard on Wednesday evening, Psalm 122. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up to the house of the Lord. Does not the circumstances, but let us lay our hearts beside the things, the matters that we read of Saul. Let us first sing. Psalter 124, the stanzas 3, 4, and 5. And now gird thee with thy sword, O strong and mighty one, in splendid majesty arrayed, more glorious than the sun. And what follows, Psalter 124, 3, 4, and 5. Thank you. Jesus Christ, the resting soul, on the way to Damascus. Jesus' powerful stopping. Jesus' uncovering question. Jesus' drawing love reflected. And fourthly, Jesus' clear reproof. And then we read that the Lord has answered. That also becomes a wonder for a convicted sinner with their riddles and with their questions. Oh, it would be righteous if the Lord would answer them no more, but cast them away into that bottomless pit where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Because in that convicting word, why? Then they are given to reflect. How often? How many times? That the Lord has called them lovingly and seriously, but that for so many years that they have refused to hearken, that they have went their own way, that they have said, Lord, I am not so interested. I like to have a little peace upon this earth, happiness upon this world. Then it would be righteous if the Lord would not answer them or make them wait a very, very long time. But now was all. Ask, and he received an answer. Oh, in that beginning time, then the Lord deals so tenderly with his crying children, those little children that are so hungry for the word of God. Then they receive an answer that has taken place in the life of Saul. Then Jesus did not say, Saul, do you not really expect an answer? Such a sinner, such a persecutor still, with those letters from the priest in his pocket, do you not really expect that you shall receive an answer? Because it is clear, Saul, there is one rightful place, and that is in the bottom of hell. That is what you have made yourself worthy of. Oh, for a soul, that word, why? How it must have came back, Stephen, when he was given to give that testimony, and when he has consented in his death. Oh, why? Oh, soul, what have I now done wrong? Done nothing but good. The church of the New Testament, the followers of Jesus, behold them, at least when it is right. How is it with us? When the community looks upon us, are we a shining light? Can it be seen that we are under the truth of God's holy word? So why that church? Have they caused trouble? Have they caused disturbance? Oh, have there not even been those that have sold their field, that they have helped the poor? Why? And now the wonder, that a soul, that he has received an answer. I am Jesus, not Jesus the Savior. A deeper conviction. I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. We shall leave that, the Lord willing, for the next time. And now, young and old, How is it with us? Because we need to experience the same as a soul has experienced. The Lord has a prepared people, a far prepared place. Then we have heard it out of Acts 22, verse 6, that Saul, I was on my journey for my honor, for my pride, self-interest. Oh, it is true, in his false zeal, he thought he was doing God a service, but it was all wrong. Sincere, but sincerely mistaken. Have we now been stopped? Has it now become different in our life? The things we have heard, the Lord has spoken to Saul by his hand, his providential hand. Great light fell to the earth as he was pushed to the ground. Then Saul has learned that he was nothing in the sight of divine power. The Lord has also spoken unto us so many ways, in the ways of providence, death, and have we now learned to bow? Have we learned to fall? Or do I continue my way? And then the Lord has spoken through his word. Saul, Saul, have you heard your name mentioned, congregation? Why? The Lord has a people beginning, but that continues. Why hast thou sinned against me? A good doing, a just God. And then that people, who art thou, Lord? Let us close with that question. Who is our Lord? Who is our Master? Who do we love? Who do we obey? Who do we love to honor and hear that he is honored? And do we love everything that is connected with the Lord? That is not such a simple, hard question, is it, congregation? When we love someone, ask a girl or boyfriend, we would ask them, then they shall not tell you, give me 10 minutes to think about it and I shall give you an answer. Do we love the Lord? Let us close then with that text. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 22. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, anathema, amen. Let us close. Lord, thou wast wrought wonderfully and powerfully in the life of Saul. And so thou converteth all thy people. May it have pleased thee in this morning hour that arrows may have been shot into the hearts of young and old, an arrow of that why. And, Lord, when thou shooteth that arrow, then we shall not be able to remove it, but then it shall stick fast, and it shall penetrate deeper and deeper, and then it shall bring us in secret places, and we shall be given to cry for and after thee, O, who art thou, Lord? Lord, work those wonderful works, but wilt thou also grant those further leadings, to learn that by our sins that we have persecuted and nailed the Lord of glory to that cursed cross, and thereby the church can and shall be saved. Lord, be then mindful of us and our children. in the latter days of the earth. Wilt thou graciously watch over us on the Sabbath day? May we and our children keep it holy. Grant traveling mercies. Return us in this evening hour and forgive us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 373, the stanzas 2, 3, and 10. Oh, praise ye the Lord for his goodness. 'Tis pleasant his praises to sing. His people is chosen and precious. Your praises with gratitude bring. And what follows? The consistory wishes to announce the following, the Lord willing. The second wedding announcement of Alexander Matthew Slingeland and Brianna Renee van de Veen. The wedding service is scheduled for Friday, July 23 at 10 a.m. with Reverend E.C. Adams officiating. Unlawful objections may be brought to the attention of the consistory. And the banner of truth and insight into are at the exit. 373, 2, 3, and 10. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.